Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Yes, this was supposed to start at 10 a.m., but my computer was sleepy this morning and I couldn't get it to start up. So here we are, 10:30. I rescheduled it. Today's show is about denial. I'm not sure when it began or how it evolved, but we now live in a society that supports denial and blame rather than acceptance and accountability. James Quinn, a senior director of strategic planning for a major university, summed it up well in an article entitled The Great American Empire, Decline, Decay, Denial, Delusion, and Despair, which was published on the online magazine The Market Oracle. And this is what Mr. Quinn said. The majority of Americans seem okay with just waddling through life, accepting the lies and misinformation blasted from the boob tube and their various eye gadgets by their owners, gorging themselves to death on Twinkies and Cheetos, paying 15% interest on their $10,000 rolling credit card balance, and growing ever more dependent on the welfare warfare state to provide and protect them from accepting personal responsibility for their lives. Look, I'm not a sociologist, political activist, psychologist, or psychiatrist, but I am a great observer of human behavior. And what I have frustratingly observed time and time again is that many people do not live emotionally healthy lives. That observation never fails to surprise me given the vast amount of resources that are at our disposal to assist each and every one of us in our difficult emotional journeys through life. For a variety of reasons, some of us choose to bury our heads in the sand or look the other way when life becomes uneasy. A very commonly employed mechanism with which to do that is called denial. Denial is characterized by the refusal to acknowledge or accept painful truths, distressing thoughts, and uncomfortable feelings, despite the overwhelming evidence that the reality exists. Denial is not always a bad thing. It is normal to engage in small amounts from time to time, and we all use it. It can be a beneficial mechanism that absorbs emotional shock and protects our psychological health. It helps us temporarily cope with tough situations, such as grieving, disasters, or trauma that might otherwise interfere with our ability to function. It gives us time to adjust to traumatic changes that occur in our lives. Using denial as a way to cope with life for short, critical periods of time is healthy and beneficial. It becomes a problem when we use it for long periods of time to avoid accepting a truth and doing the work we need to do. It becomes a problem when it blinds us from the truth and we become stuck in a mindset that prevents us from moving on with our lives. Granted, it takes a great amount of inner strength to face painful realities, accept them, and overcome them. It is not pleasant or comfortable for any of us to feel the emotions associated with painful events, but we are here to overcome, learn, and to grow. Adversity is the catalyst of opportunity we are given to accomplish those things. I find it extremely frustrating, and you probably do too, to engage with people who are clearly destroying their lives and their sanity through the use of denial, especially when there are children and other family members involved. It's one thing to destroy oneself. It's another thing to drag those we love and care about down with us. But the problem with denial is that it renders us blind to what we are doing. Everyone around us can see it, but we cannot. So what is it about denial that blinds us to the truth? Why do so many of us choose to live our lives in it? Well, for one thing, we are all products of our upbringing. Our coping mechanisms are taught to us by our parents. If our parents use denial as a coping mechanism, we will too until we know better. And as children, we may have learned to use denial as a way to cope with emotionally unhealthy parents. When we're young, we need our parents for survival. If they are absent or abusive, we have to psychologically find a way to justify and defend their treatment of us. Another factor is that our human nature and our egos make it difficult to be objective about our own emotions and behaviors. That is something we hopefully gain over time with life experience and maturity. Objectivity is a skill we are supposed to learn through the trials and tribulations of life. Freud theorized that defense mechanisms such as denial are strategies used by the unconscious mind to manipulate, deny, or distort reality in order to defend against feelings of anxiety and unacceptable impulses. There are 10 mechanisms that Freud talks about in his studies, and I'll go over each one of them. The first one is rejection. Rejection involves either a complete rejection of the existence of a reality or an admission of its truth, but a minimization of its importance. For instance, those with addiction often use rejection when confronted with a habit they don't want to give up. The next one is repression. Repression is unconscious mechanism used to keep painful information out of our conscious awareness. For instance, those who have had painful childhoods or any painful episodes in their lives that they have difficulty remembering are said to have repressed those memories. The next one is suppression, which is different than repression. Suppression is a conscious mechanism used to push undesired information out of our awareness or delay it. For instance, someone who has bills piling up may put off paying them by finding other reasons to be too busy to do so. The next one is displacement. Displacement is an ego defense mechanism that involves shifting anxiety-producing frustrations or angers about ourselves, others, or situations we find ourselves in onto others. For instance, someone who is frustrated with his boss at work but cannot act on it for fear he will lose his job may come home and lash out at his family. The next one is called sublimation. Sublimation is a defense mechanism used to convert unacceptable impulses to a more acceptable form or more productive outlets. For instance, someone who has anger management issues may take up boxing as a socially acceptable way to vent his frustration. The next one is projection. Projection is a passive-aggressive defense mechanism used to protect the ego that involves misattributing undesirable or unacceptable thoughts, feelings, or impulses onto someone else. For instance, someone who dislikes another person and feels guilty about it may believe that it is the other person who does not like him. The next one is intellectualization. Intellectualization is a defense mechanism used to avoid thinking about uncomfortable feelings or the reality of a situation by focusing in on the intellectual aspect of it. For instance, someone that was diagnosed with cancer may distance himself from the stressful reality of his diagnosis by delving deep into research about it. The next one is rationalization. Rationalization is a defense mechanism used to distort the facts or explain something away as a way to make a behavior, feeling, impulse, or situation easier to accept. For instance, a woman suffering from domestic violence may rationalize that her husband really is a good person who doesn't mean to hurt her. The next one is regression. Regression is a defense mechanism used to reduce anxiety by abandoning developed coping skills and reverting back to earlier stages of development. For instance, a child who fears starting first grade may begin wetting his pants. An adult may throw a temper tantrum when he doesn't get his way. The next one and last one is reaction formation. Reaction formation is a defense mechanism used to hide true feelings by behaving in an opposite way. For instance, a boy who likes a girl may bully her to cover up his feelings for her. Or someone may act prim and proper to hide his sexual obsessions. So people may use defense mechanisms when their sense of control, their egos, or their safety is threatened, and any time they feel fragile or vulnerable. They may deny that a problem exists or minimize its significance. They may claim that no options exist, so they don't have to do anything to resolve it. Denial may be used to maintain relationships with partners, spouses, children, or other family members. Excuses and justifications are made or heads are buried in the sand when a spouse cheats, a child has an eating disorder or on drugs, or a parent is abusive. Many people are in denial about the reality of death. Senior citizens may refuse to make arrangements for their nearing funerals, burials, and estates, or may refuse to discuss their plans and wishes with family members. Someone who has a chronic or terminal illness may deny that it exists, avoiding medical care that could potentially save or prolong his life. Someone with mental health issues may not take his medicine, denying that he needs it. Or someone with personal or emotional issues may refuse to seek counseling that could help make their life better. Addicts, by nature, do not want to stop using or engaging in self-destructive behaviors, therefore will deny that they have a problem, deny that it is as bad as others think it is, or claim that they have it under control. Those with anger issues may claim that they are not angry or that someone else is responsible for making them act the way they do. They may justify their constant yelling with the fact that they never actually hit anyone. Those who are afraid to face themselves or fear change may use denial by claiming that they are who they are and cannot change, or that they have tried before and failed, therefore refuse to try again. Someone may choose to see a situation as hopeless so he doesn't have to do anything about it, or insist that he is the only one capable of taking care of a problem, that he doesn't need anyone else's help. People who suffer childhood abuse at the hands of their parents may describe their childhood as being normal or happy. They may claim that their parents were strict but loving, or say that they were not abused because their parents never hit them, when in actuality, the emotional abuse they suffered scarred them deeply. Or they may claim that the physically abusive punishment was for their own good, that it made them better people. Denial may be used individually or as a group mentality, as in the case of a nation who refuses to acknowledge sinister or self-serving political motives. Countries risk their future by denying the realities before them. Excuse me. History repeats itself when groups of people deny the catastrophic mass murder extermination such as the Holocaust ever occurred. Denial can be very dangerous when people refuse to accept the seriousness of a problem. It's dangerous when people engage in unhealthy behaviors while denying that what they do is harmful or life-threatening. It's dangerous when parents enable their children's destructive behavior while denying that there are self-serving reasons for doing so, and then the child's problem exacerbates. Denial is dangerous when someone is clearly on the brink of suicide and no one wants to believe them. Denial is dangerous when a business or company is obviously failing and its employees do not preemptively find employment elsewhere, and then they end up unemployed. Denial is dangerous when a property is in foreclosure or a renter faces eviction, and the resident or owner ignores the problem. It's dangerous when we live beyond our means or max out our credit cards and end up with debt we cannot afford to pay back. These cases often result in homelessness or bankruptcy. Denial is dangerous when issues are not dealt with and problems get worse. It's dangerous when issues are repressed for long periods of time. Repressed feelings cannot stay hidden forever. They will eventually induce devastating consequences, far worse than the initial problem. Okay, well, we're about halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break, and I will continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadow's song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy, stay tuned, and I will be right back. To today's discussion, living in denial. After listening to the first part of today's show, you may be wondering if you might be living in denial about something. Well, I can assure you that you are. We all are. What's important is that you make the distinction between denial that's healthy and denial that isn't. Healthy denial is temporary. We use it until our healthy coping skills have a chance to kick in. Unhealthy denial is the long-term avoidance of healthy coping skills. The very first radio show I ever did back in April of 2011 was about codependency. And on that show, I tell a story that clearly illustrates the denial I was in many years ago in regard to my drug-addicted husband. It fits the topic of denial so well that I'll tell it again today. One time I accidentally found a syringe that my husband, who by the way became my ex-husband and then eventually died, had hidden in a kitchen cabinet. And because he had led me to believe that he was clean and sober, the shock of seeing that needle sent me spiraling into panic. I was frenzied after I'd fervently obsessed for hours because he hadn't been home, when I found the earth-shattering evidence. So I confronted him, brandishing the evidence in my hand as he walked through the door. He remained unflappably calm and gave me his usual lame excuse. I'm not using. I just crave the feeling of the needle, but only shot water. I wanted to believe him. To not believe him would have destroyed my world, but the evidence spoke for itself. Any way I looked at it, the thought of him sticking a needle in his vein was sickening and disturbing. Though I was devastated by the betrayal and overcome with my own pain, I immediately shifted into codependent mode. I told myself that I was much stronger than he was. I'd be okay. It was him I had to worry about. I told him that I'd just have to try harder to keep him happy and believed that if I loved him more and proved my devotion, he wouldn't use drugs again. At the time, that all made perfect sense to me. Could I have been more in denial about the situation I was in? I don't think so. If you are living in denial about something, there are red flags you can look out for. Do you keep finding yourself stuck in one problematic relationship after another, choosing dysfunctional people over and over again, or always ending up in the same bad situations? If you do, you are probably in denial about something. Does it seem like the whole world is conspiring against you? Are you always a victim and never at fault? Do you feel the need to blame someone, anyone, when things don't go exactly as you envisioned or planned? If any or all of this describes you, you are probably in denial about something. Do you find yourself always making excuses as a way to not take responsibility for things you should be doing? If you do, you are probably in denial about something. Do you think everyone who doesn't agree with you is stupid, clueless, and ignorant? Do you think that you are always right and everyone else is wrong? Do you think you are the only person who will get the job done right, that everyone else is untrustworthy or inadequate? If any or all of this describes you, you are probably in denial about something. Do you blindly defend your child when there is clear evidence that he has done something wrong? Do you have children who demonstrate emotional disorders or learning disabilities and refuse to have them evaluated because you don't want to believe that you could possibly have a child with problems? If you do either of these things, you're probably in denial about something. Do you make excuses for parents who treat you horribly and always have? If you do, you are probably in denial about something. There are probably more indicators of denial that I haven't thought of, but I think you get the general picture. If you recognize yourself in any of these examples, it's probably a good idea to work towards identifying and claiming your denial. That may not be easy to do. It requires great bravery on your part, but it will ultimately lead you to the root of the problem and enable you to heal. At the end of the show, I will talk about ways that we can deal with our own denial. In the long run, it's much easier to fix ourselves than it is to fix others. Though with self-deception, it may seem that the opposite is true. We cannot make anyone change if they are not willing to. How helpless and frustrated do you feel when you cannot shake someone out of their denial? I know it bothers me so much to see someone in the destructive path of denial. It doesn't matter how I lay out the facts or present the evidence. If someone has reasons for denying the truth and continuing the problematic behavior, they will not hear me. They will not acknowledge the truth or accept anything I say. That's when I know that I have to step back and give the person time, though it's a never an easy thing for me to do. But that's when it becomes my problem. If I cannot handle my frustration, it's up to me to find out why I can't accept the situation and why I can't let it go. I usually end up doing a show or writing an article about it to help me understand. The best we can do to help anyone is to listen and offer our support, to let the person know that we care and that we are available to help whenever they need us. The rest is out of our hands until that person is ready to make the needed changes or feels safe enough to listen to what we have to say. It's very difficult to bring up sensitive subjects with other people, especially when we know they don't want to hear what we have to say. But when someone we care about is being endangered by denial, it is our responsibility to move past our own discomfort and try to help. The person may not acknowledge what we are saying or may even push us away. But once the seed has been planted, there is hope that he will come around. And knowing that you will be there to support him may just be what he needs to feel secure enough to make the needed changes. Just know that there's always the possibility that nothing you do will help and the person will suffer the consequences of his choices. But if you tried to help, you shouldn't feel guilty about a negative end result. Now let's discuss ways that we can help ourselves, ways to stop or prevent ourselves from living in denial. The first thing to remember is that denial should only be a temporary measure. It's perfectly healthy to put off thinking about something that suddenly overwhelms you until you have time to process it and adapt to it. If you're feeling stuck, think about the things you have purposely avoided or ignored, and then try to acknowledge and examine those areas. Identify the hot spots that set you off as places to begin to explore. Explore the negative consequences you have faced or will face through your avoidance and procrastination. If you have been confronted about your denial by someone whom you respect and trust, ask yourself if there is some truth to what you have been told, even if you find it distressing or embarrassing to admit it. Understand that others may be more objective about what they see than you are, and just try to keep an open mind. Examine your fears, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of change. Honestly ask yourself if these fears are grounded, realistic, and true. Are your fears rooted in your past and no longer relative to the present, or are they current? Practice feeling and expressing emotions when you have them. Avoid hiding or burying them just because they may be uncomfortable. Muster up the courage to face yourself just as you are and admit what needs to be changed, and then formulate a reasonable plan for improvement. Share your feelings with those you trust, or within the safety of a support group, or in a private journal, or with a qualified mental health provider. And the bottom line is, understand that change takes effort and time. Habits take time to form, and they take time to break, so be patient. We are just about out of time, so I'm going to leave you with a great quote I found from New York Times best-selling author Jim Butcher's book, Turncoat. And this is what he said. The human mind isn't a terribly logical or consistent place. Most people, given the choice to face a hideous or terrifying truth or to conveniently avoid it, choose the convenience and peace of normality. Normality, that's what he said, normality. That doesn't make them strong or weak people or good or bad people. It just makes them people. Unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always spelled R-A-N-D-I, randygfine.com. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandiGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change.